Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. And by iBeCool athleisure wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBKUL.com. Many of you in golf know Colin Burns. He was the general manager at Wingfoot in Westchester, New York for 30 years before becoming chief operating officer at the Apogee Club in Hobe Sound, Florida, with three signature courses and villas being built. And most recently, Colin received the 2023 Lifetime Achievement Award from the Monaco U.S. Celebrity Golf Cup by Prince Albert of Monaco. Congratulations, Colin.
That sounds exhausting, Anne. Good morning. How are you?
Wow. Well, you've had a very long and storied career, so I had to give you a little bit of your due here. But, man, you travel in some high circles for sure.
I have to tell you, of all the things that I did at Wingfoot in the 31 years, you know, hosting a couple of major championships, PGA Championship, all kinds of things, the event that was just held in Monaco was off the charts. Wonderful, fabulous. Great group of people, American athletes, Josh Scobie. There were some European rugby players. One of the Pussycat Dolls was there, a collection of uber-wealthy, fun people. And Prince Albert himself, Anne, was absolutely charming.
Nice. What an honor. Lifetime Achievement Award. So did you play golf with Prince Albert?
I did not. Actually, Prince Albert joined us for the formal dinner, the black tie dinner at the Hermitage. He presented the award that was co-hosted by Pascal Grisot. And Anne, you may know Pascal. He was the chairman of the 2018 Ryder Cup in Paris.
Right.
And Pascal and I met in 1995 when he was first playing in the Anderson tournament at Wingfoot Golf Club, which he ultimately won in 1997.
I love that. So yeah. Tell us the U.S. Celebrity Golf Cup. What is it?
Well, this is started by a woman named Susan Feaster. And Susan is a resident of Monaco. She's a U.S. citizen. Her husband was a decorated Army, I believe, colonel. And after his passing, she decided that she wanted to, you know, remain active in sort of the social circle, the world of golf. She became friends through some friends with Prince Albert. He has a charity that is primarily focused on sustaining the oceanic environment of Monaco. So the two of them got together. Ultimately, Pascal Grisot got involved as the chairman of the 2018 Ryder Cup. They convinced him that it would be a good idea. And he was the first Lifetime Achievement Award winner because of the efforts he made in putting basically France on the map in terms of golf. So the idea, you know, was spawned from that. They raised money. They have multiple European sponsors. And so ultimately it's a charity that benefits the ocean surrounding Monaco and Prince Albert's you know, charity related to that.
That's nice. So is that at a course near there? Or?
Well, actually what we did, Ann, to make this even more of a whirlwind, is that we flew into Nice, went 2 hours into Italy, near a town called Alessio, lovely, lovely inn that we stayed at. There was 2 days of golf there, and then we hopped on a shuttle, arrived in Monaco late in the afternoon, got settled in there, had a lovely dinner at this fabulous estate that's right on the water. It was just absolutely stunning. And then the next day was the dinner, and then home.
That's a quick trip. It's
set up in a Ryder Cup format, which is a lot of fun. So the Europeans versus the Americans, and ultimately the Europeans won, just like the 2018 Ryder Cup. So it was sort of sad for us, but it was a great time for everyone.
I know years ago I had the opportunity to play the Monte Carlo Golf Club, and
yes.
That was fun. And then recently we were on this golf cruise. Believe it or not, it's actually this Costa golf cruise, and you can kind of select a golf excursion if you'd like.
Huh.
And we played in Aix-en-Provence, but we also played Marco Simone outside of Rome where the Ryder Cup's going to be.
Oh, how was that?
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
I loved it. It's a really fun golf course. I think as a venue for the Ryder Cup, it's going to be real exciting. Yeah.
That's great. As a matter of fact, a guy, and I'm going to blank on his last name, I apologize, the chairman of the 2023 Ryder Cup was with us as well at the dinner.
Right.
Pascal's counterpart. You know, it's funny, speaking of these fabulous European golf clubs, we visited what may be the most unique place I've ever been to, Vidabon Golf Club. And they have 30 members, super exclusive, a fabulously designed golf course that was done by Robert Trent Jones Sr. way back in the day, and it's in the middle of what looks like a nature preserve. There's donkey on the property. There's these fabulous tortoises that they have emblazoned their logo with, and it's really what a place. And that was about, I'd say, an hour out of Nice in a town called Vidabon.
30 members?
30 members.
I love that.
I think from somebody who managed a much larger facility than that for all those years, yeah. the idea of 30 is just dreamy.
Well, speaking of 30, I mean, 30 years you served as GM at Wingfoot. So tell me, do you miss it, Colin?
Oh, I miss it all the time. And
I'm
it's
sure.
one of the most, yeah, I mean, you know, you've been there plenty of times. It's such a special place. And, you know, I wonder sometimes, like, you know, it's still sort of new to me. By the way, I love what I'm doing at Apogee. This is a fabulous, and we can talk about that later. It's a fabulous facility. But in terms of Wingfoot, I do. I miss the people. I miss the people who I worked with, you know, guys and gals who I was with for 30 years, watched them grow, watched their children grow. Same with the members. You know, it becomes a very close relationship. And so I think I miss that most of all is the people, and I really do miss the action, you know, being at the front door like I always was for all those years, greeting everyone. And so, yeah, it is still a little bit bittersweet, but it will remain a part of me. I spent half my life there, literally.
Wow.
So it will remain very, very close to me for forever.
And you were the executive director for the 97 PGA Championships. Then they had the 2004 US-AM, the
yep.
2006 2020 US Open Championships, which I've covered all those. And what highlights stand out of all those major events in your – you must have such an extensive memory bank, but what highlight stands out?
I think, I mean, besides Ryan Moore coming back from a deficit to win the 2004 U.S. Amateur, from a golf perspective, that was really special. I think from an emotional perspective, I can still close my eyes and see Phil and Amy and Bones in the locker room at Wingfoot after having lost the 2006 U.S. Open. And that remains one of those memories, both, you know, both good and bad, having gotten to know Phil during the week. But such a disastrous ending. I think that's probably one of the things that I will reflect back on a lot, because it was, we'd got to know each other. He was so gracious leading up to the event. He would always call before coming, you know, went for practice rounds, just super gracious. And we spent time during the week, which really was a lot of fun. We had dinner together, and, you know, he really felt that it was his to win. And when it didn't happen, it was, I think I took it very personally. I really took it to heart.
Sure. I mean, nobody can, you know, forget that. That 2006 U.S. Open, you needed a par in the 18th to win, ended up double bogeying the final hole, used driver off the tee. The ball ended up, it's painful to even go through it, right? The ball ended up in the hospitality tent.
Oh my gosh.
Next shot hit the tree. I mean, just crazy. And Jeff Ogilvy ended up with the victory, and
yeah.
You know, Phil had yet to win a U.S. Open, which would have completed a career Grand Slam for him. But, you know, reading up on all that, he later said that his play in that final round was his single greatest short game performance of his career. He struck the ball terribly, but he still had a chance to win the U.S. Open. So until that final hole, it's just crazy.
He did. And, you know, for me, as still, you know, relatively young man at that time, I think the lesson I learned was the graciousness with which he addressed the crowd. You know, after the cameras went off and people were sort of, you know, shutting their TVs off at home, he came out to accept the, you know, the silver medal. And it was the manner in which he did that I think, as I close my eyes, I can remember how gracious. He wasn't bitter. He actually apologized, you know, and this wasn't covered. So
I remember that, yeah.
There, you know, I mean, those of us who were there or inside sort of the rope, so to speak, saw that. And to me, it really stuck in my mind. You know, and afterwards, we sent Phil a gift. I had the members. I left something at the front desk. We had over 400 signatures, and it was beautiful gold leaf and this iconic sort of, you know, calligraphy. And I sent it to him, and it was about great sportsmanship, being a great sport in sportsmanship, and so being a gentleman. And I found this quote from the 1800s. It's beautifully done. So I sent it to him. I don't hear back from him. And he finally called me at home. He'd gotten my home phone number, and the conversation we had, and once again, typical Phil, he was, you know, he was apologizing and being very gracious, thanked us for the gift, the most lovely gift he had ever received. And it was just that whole, I think all of those events, you know, sort of, you know, have formed in my mind this both good and bad, bittersweet memory of 2006.
Sure. And I can't believe I remember this, but back in 97, I can remember exactly where that media tent was. And I was doing updates every 20 minutes back then for WFAN. And
Right. Then
in 2020, the U.S. Open then, it was eerie, right? Because there were no spectators during COVID. And, you know, you're walking around and the only people there were those who were working. And then,
yep,
of course, Bryson DeChambeau hitting long bombs off the tee, blasting those short irons, and he wins it. So a lot of fun memories. Not that, you know, that was a little different 2020, but boy,
yeah,
you've experienced it all, right?
Yeah, you know, moving, that was, you know, one of those things people have asked a lot about when I'm, you know, I'm out, whatever, doing some, you know, at a social event or a meeting of some kind, and what that was like. Well, I can remember I was sitting right where I am now, and it was March 13th, and the vendors were just about to start building the tents. And we had gone through great pains for five previous years between the security, New York State Police, the governor's office. I mean, the things that we had laid out, we thought we had such a fabulous plan. 45,000 people would be there, you know, in total. And we were on this phone call, and it was John Bodenhammer, very, very respected and dear colleague at the USGA. And it was, you know, the Brian Marcel, who was the chairman of the U.S. Open, and some others. And we said, guys, we can't do this. We can't build these tents, have them empty, kill all this turf, you know, deconstruct everything. It's just not going to happen. And that was one of those moments where we all, you know, breathe this heartfelt sigh of, it was sort of a, you know, this pang in our hearts that we had worked so hard to, you know, rejuvenate the relationship with the USGA, get another U.S. Open scheduled, and then to have it all just sort of vaporize. And then what we did was the next several months, we were on a weekly phone call trying to figure out the Masters schedule, when they were going to schedule, the NFL schedule, because suddenly, you know, we realized we were being pushed into the fall. And it was one of those things that we worked together. And, you know, Ann, I think to me, again, one of those really fond memories was the way the USGA, Wingfoot Golf Club, the executive committee, and people outside of our particular, you know, sort of realm, worked together to make that fall happen. And while it wasn't great, you know, we had to keep resubmitting plans to the governor's office, 10,000 people. Then it became 5,000 people. Then it became basically zero. It was, you know, 450 member volunteers, people from the press, players, and the whole bubble concept. You know, no one could come into the clubhouse except players. So their managers, family, caddies, no one come in except in a handful of staff members. So from our perspective, it was kind of fun to be having breakfast next to, you know, Matt Fitzpatrick, and we saw, you know, Adam Scott every afternoon, and it was very intimate. And yes, there was certainly something eerie about it, but it was nonetheless a great U.S. Open. Bryson definitely proved that he was the better man, you know, during that period. And I still run into him from time to time. You know, we had a great homecoming with him a year later. And we flew him up from Liberty National up the Hudson in a helicopter. We had a ball. We had 500 people waiting for him, and he put on a clinic for the kids and signed every piece of paper handed to him. And it really was a great homecoming for a guy who, frankly, you know, a lot of Wingfoot members didn't know, and some of them, you know, didn't necessarily weren't thrilled about him winning, not for any other reason except they didn't know who he was.
Sure.
And when he came home, if you will, to Wingfoot that next year, it was nothing short of spectacular.
Yeah, he is a very nice guy and has gotten a bad rap in the past, but
yep,
I know he means well. Anyway, Colin, we're out of time. I know you're the chief operating officer at a very exclusive new private facility called the Apogee. I want you to come back on in the very near future and tell us all about it. But congratulations on this Lifetime Achievement Award. It's just so well-deserved. And boy, we'll have you on again, Colin Burns. Thanks so much for joining us this morning on Talkin' Golf.
Dan, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Sports Interview with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. And by IB Cool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with IB Cool. Stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection and Icefield technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. IBKUL.com.